Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Because there are fewer and fewer sheep shearers, owners of the woolly creature sometimes have to call upon shearers from hundreds of miles away for their annual tonsorial service. The art, however, is still alive, and there are opportunities to learn in South Dakota for those interested in joining this exclusive club. Bernie Hunhoff is editor-at-large for South Dakota Magazine. He writes about those trying to keep the field alive in the March-April edition of South Dakota Magazine, and he's joining us in our studio at the Al Newhart Media Center in Vermilion for two segments today. Bernie, welcome back.
Hi, Lori. How are you?
We are definitely putting you to work here for In the Moment this month because we just had you talking about creativity ahead of the Great Plains Writers Festival. How did that go?
Very good. It was a wonderful festival, and thanks for helping us publicize it. People came there, and they said, I heard it on public broadcasting.
Yes, and they said, you know, you were, Kent Myers was definitely holding back, so you knew you had to show up at his talk exactly. If he was going to give you the real goods
Kent was great. Kent was great, and a couple of poets from New York came, and it was really a wonderful day, and thank you for helping us tell people about it.
And when you look at the beginning of this issue of South Dakota Magazine, Katie Hunhoff is also talking about a family tradition of writing and reading, and it's something that, and we were talking this morning about how well written this article on sheep shearing is, and how you immediately feel like you're there, and you've really painted a picture there. So it's a family tradition for you as well.
Yeah, we lost our mom this January, and she was a fine poet, actually trained by Adeline Jenny, who some of your older listeners will remember was a poet laureate after Badger Clark, so we had a good mentor, you're right.
Well, I'm sorry for that loss as well. All right, let's talk about something that's still going in South Dakota, and this is sheep shearing, but it's changed somewhat because folks are coming even further distances. Tell us a little bit about the sheep industry in South Dakota and what you learned.
Yeah, you know, the sheep industry used to be huge in South Dakota. We at one time, I think we had almost 2.5 million sheep. And I think the total sheep numbers across the whole nation right now are like 5 million. So that gives you an idea of how many sheep, 2.5 million sheep are. That's dwindled a lot, down to, I think, about 250,000 sheep or something like that, maybe 10% of what we had in our heyday in the 50s. And yet it's still an industry and still an important industry. And, dozens, probably several hundred farms and ranches still depend on sheep. Every one of those 250,000 sheep still have to be shorn every year for the good of the sheep and because there's some value in the wool. So sheep shearing is kind of an interesting little subculture in South Dakota, and that's what we explored in this issue.
Right, and there's a lovely little sidebar, by the way, from Eliza Blue about sort of going out and having a great idea of shearing her own sheep and then learning the hard way that she's going to go ahead and leave that up to the professionals. So why is this it's referred to as a dance. When folks are learning, it can be more of a wrestling match. Tell us a little bit about why it's a challenge and why people work so hard to master the craft.
Well, you nailed it. I went to a sheep shearing school in Brookings just to learn more about it, and there were about 15 young people there that thought they'd try their hand at shearing sheep. Most of them had never done it before. And you bet that the students some of them were big burly guys, and you bet it was more like a wrestling match, and they were tussling with those sheep, which weigh about 200 pounds. And it was, a little bit of blood was coming, was falling,
from,
and it was
from both.
Yeah, right. It was kind of a mess. And then one of the really skilled shearers there were about five shearers there who were showing everybody how to do it. One of the shearers just stopped everybody and said, "This is how it really goes." And he used the word. He said it should be more like a dance than a wrestling match. And he just effortlessly the sheep just sat there docilely like you would hope a sheep would do. Yeah. And just within a couple of minutes, he sheared a sheep. And then another guy showed us how you do four or five or six in a row. And, it was just all effortless and no fighting. One of the really experienced shearers said that sheep shearers traditionally have bad backs, but usually their backs go bad when they're very young and they don't know what they're doing. And all the back problems come in the early years. And once they actually learn what they're doing, it's really not so hard on your back or on the sheep.
And so it's mostly technique. You mentioned the size of some of those sheep shearers, but then you also have a 130-pound sort of, online wool business owner. And she's like, they tell me it's about the leverage and the technique.
Right. But it takes a lot of work to get there. And then we had the opportunity to meet Lauren Opstedal, who, there are certain times in the magazine business, probably in the radio business too, where you wish you were were running a TV station because Lauren Obstadal, I mean, what a character. He looks like a character actually out of a Crocodile Dundee movie. and he's a champion sheep shearer, one of the U.S. champions over, I think he's like a six-time national champion. Yeah. And he is so good at it. He travels with a team of three or four guys, and they travel all over the Midwest shearing sheep hundreds a day. And such a good-hearted guy. He has wonderful fun with it. He just enjoys everything he does, and he's one of the best in the country.
And he's got his own trading card.
Baseball card, I guess.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about that life. You know, you mentioned him sort of traveling around, and what's it like to be on the road? And then let's talk a little bit about the relationship that the shearer has, you know, with the farmers, with the ranch families, because there's a connection there as well.
Yeah, and it's a little bit, shearing day has become a little bit like branding day on ranches, and a lot of us have been to brandings in South Dakota. It's not so much that all the neighbors come, you don't have that big a crowd, but it's kind of a special day on the ranch. And oftentimes the wives, if they're not working in town, if the wives are there, sometimes they'll put on a big spread, kind of like we used to associate with thrashing crews. I'm old enough to remember a few old thrashing crews in our farm neighborhood where the wives would put on meals like you couldn't believe. And they do that at brandings yet. I mean, you hit a good South Dakota branding out in rural West River, and you're never going to find better food anywhere in a five-star hotel. And so they talked a lot about that, actually. And the, some of the teachers at the shearing school in Brookings talked about how, don't take that for granted. You know, if your shirt got bloody in the morning, take it off and wear a clean sheet T-shirt into the house and wash your hands and, you know, be nice to the farm wives because they're going to feed you like nobody else. They talked a lot about that. And Lauren did too. Lauren said, he said the biggest perk of the job is the amazing food that you get to eat.
Right. And this kind of ties into this notion of ethic, which I think you described beautifully without ever using the word, you know, in the article, that there are, you know, that there are people who are talking about, you know, this is how it's done. This is better for the animal. This is better for the shearer. And this is how you show respect for the family. This is how you show respect for, you know, the process that we're really involved in. That's a pretty old, you know, ancient, really, right. Even line of work.
No, you said that perfectly. They both Lauren and the teachers at the Brookings School talked a lot about that. And again, you're right, they didn't use the word ethic, but they just talked about, you know, just common sense things about being respectful to the sheep, to the sheep owners, to the wives who make a meal for you. And you bet, there's just a lot of respect for the sheep industry within that culture, for the sheep industry, for the rancher, and, you know, it was really kind of a beautiful thing to write about.
Let's talk about the competitive nature of it then, when people like Lauren go and, you know, travel really around the world to sort of shear sheep alongside some other masters.
Yeah, Lauren talked about that some. I mean, he's I think, like a six- or seven-time national champion. And the national championships, interestingly, are held at the Black Hills Stock Show in Rapid City every January, so they just took place a bit ago. And Lauren does pretty well in the United States, but I'm sure he's a very humble guy. But he says you get me outside of the United States, and he says those guys from New Zealand and Australia, they're pretty tough to beat. He talked in an article about one time he was shearing in competition somewhere overseas, and there was a national champion on one side of him and a world champion on one side and a world record holder on the other side, and he said he felt like it was his first sheep.
And you also talked to David Olilla, who was on this program not too long ago because he was doing a lecture out at the Journey Museum, I think. And he was talking about really the resurgence of people's desire, especially millennials, to have, you know, to have wool socks, for example, to have new kinds of wool products and lamb and, you know, different things that are kind of coming back because they're looking for this something that's real, something that's authentic in a synthetic world.
Yeah, no, exactly right. And some of the sheep ranchers are starting to, like I know Wade Ogren, he helped put on that sheep school at Brookings, and they sell wool socks right off the ranch. I think largely online, wool from their own sheep. So absolutely, there are some new opportunities. We interviewed a young lady who, Anastasia Williams, who's over here at Elk Point, who sells yarn sourced in South Dakota from South Dakota sheep. So there's certainly some opportunities there for small business, for small farmers, for small ranchers. And David, wonderful guy, and again, a really great promoter of the sheep industry, David talked about how there should be a resurgence in sheep numbers, he thinks, in South Dakota. He says they fit so well with the environmental culture of farming and ranching today. He says sheep can get fat on weeds and things that cows won't even eat. And in fact, he says it used to be the buffalo would come across the Great Plains and they would eat the easy grass, you know, the lush grass, and they would and then they would move off. And he said antelope, which are a sheep, part of the sheep family, antelope and deer would then come in and they would prosper just fine on what the buffalo left. He said it's somewhat the same thing today with cattle and sheep if farmers and ranchers would just embrace that concept. So he's not so sure that there won't be a sheep resurgence in the years ahead.
Well, with the weather that's coming, everybody needs to get out their wool right now because you're going to need it. So Bernie Hunhoff, did you shear any sheep? Did you tell me a little bit about, going around and have, did you eat the great meal? What was your experience as a writer on this piece?
I missed the meal because I got there a little bit too late for the meal and I had back surgery a year ago. So I passed up. They did offer me to turn my hand at sheep shearing, but I can imagine what my back surgeon would have said.
Right. I'll go ahead and just take the picture and tell the story.